Now we're turning to John chapter 10 and to just one verse, really one phrase, one of the great metaphors used by the Lord of himself, and it's in verse 9, I am the door. And I want to consider what the Lord Jesus meant when he described himself as the door, or the gateway, or entrance. Consider a house with but one door, one legitimate entrance, therefore, into this house. Now, Christ presents himself as that one legitimate door or gateway into life. He's the one Lord. He's the one mediator, the one Savior, the one intercessor, the one way to God, to pardon, to forgiveness, and to life itself, everlasting life. He said for those who would have these blessings, they must enter by him. They must come to him through him, his work, and all that he has achieved for sinners like you and me. All who come to believe in him. All who will be in the state of eternal bliss and happiness will have come through the one door. If you were to see someone attempting to get into a home, not through the door, but clambering up through a window, or trying to force entry through a window, or some other way than approaching the door, you would rightly be suspicious. You might phone the police as a good citizen and good neighbour that you are, have them arrested and taken away. Well, you see, there are many in the realm of religion who have come and they're not going through the one door. They're trying to get to heaven. They're trying to earn acceptance and life and blessing from God by going through some other way. And that's, as we'll see, an impossibility. No, we have to come, as Christ so clearly puts it. He says, I am the door. No one else, nothing else, himself. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What conviction, what simplicity. Oh, if we miss salvation, if we miss heaven, if we are not in the kingdom of bliss eternally, it'll be because we have ignored the Savior's words. We haven't repented. We haven't come through the door. We haven't trusted him completely and entirely. Now, there are many doors that we may go through, though. I'm going to mention some alternative doors that people go through. They go through these doors believing that they're going through the right door. They've gone the right way. They've gained access, as it were, into the home, into the place of blessing and peace, acceptance with God, everlasting life. They think this is the way, but they have gone through the wrong door. Christ is the door and the one way, as we'll see. Well, many think they will find life, and I'm not so much now thinking of the blessings of Christ in the sense of spiritual blessings, forgiveness and pardon. Many don't think about those things. Their thoughts don't rise any higher than this present world. But they're still in search of life. They're still in search of satisfaction. and purpose and meaning. So they go through a door, and here's the door. They go through the door of pleasure. They're seeking life. To them, here's the entrance. If we go through here, through this door, then we'll find meaning and purpose and satisfaction. We'll have pleasures in abundance and we shall be satisfied. Well, that's folly, of course, as you know. We could give particular examples. One might be our young people growing up who are tempted. It's become, why, commonplace now. Although there's so much talk against it, so many warnings given about toying with drugs of one kind or another. But you hear of those, and they're not the street kids alone. Why, the middle class? They have their recreational drugs. You hear of tragedy after tragedy, if not on a daily basis or even weekly, quite frequently. This group of young people get together and there they are partying, having fun, enjoying each other's company. But let's make it even more exciting. Let's try something a little bit different. You see, what they're trying to do is what everybody ultimately desires, and that's meaning and satisfaction. And so they want this and they crave it, and oh, they try, and then tragedy of tragedy, maybe just one of them. And they're being buried, and we hear about the case through the media. The way of pleasure isn't the way of life. It's a con trick. Imagine living out your days in pleasures. Even if you could have them every single day. Then, says the scripture to the young person, and indeed if we've lived without Christ and we're now in advanced years, haven't we found this to be true? The scripture says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Before the evil days come, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Old age for many is a struggle. It's a battle. It's pains. It's restriction. It's frustration often because you can't do the things that you used to do. That's part of life, isn't it? But you know, if we let those things speak to us, they will say, get ready, be prepared. Here's the forerunner to that great end of life, for soon it must end. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you lived a life? Oh, the pleasure-filled life, or at least pleasures sometimes. Not many have pleasure every day that even set that as their objective and their goal, in the belief or following the philosophy that life is to be spent in pleasures. Eat, drink and be merry. Tomorrow we're dead. Well, even if you give yourself to that, and you live long enough, you will see those things will have passed. And the last are just creeping days towards the very end. No, that's not the door to life. That's not the door to meaning and purpose and satisfaction. It certainly won't give you any real hope for acceptance with God. No, indeed, that's the doorway to deep regret for many that don't die tragically in their pleasures. No, as the pleasures end and they get near life, perhaps then they begin to think and they realize, I've wasted my life, wasted years. I've never lifted a finger for the Lord. But I've soon to meet him. That's been so for many people. And they have exited this world without hope, just the fearful looking of judgment to come, says Scripture. Well, don't let that happen to you, whether young or old. No, seek the Lord. Come to that door, the one door to life and blessing. The one who can fill your heart, whatever your age, with substantial hope, real hope, and the expectation of everlasting bliss and happiness in his very presence. I am the door, said Christ. Come to me. Come this way. Secondly, if it's not the door of pleasures that many people go through, there's the door, I've touched on it, it's very similar, the door of sensual gratification. Oh, but, you know, that's held out to many. Again, come and excite yourself in all sorts of ways. I've dealt with this, I think, extensively in the first point. But you know, you often find, and many have, I get the papers occasionally, not every day, but I followed a case because there it was pretty prominent for quite some days, just a couple of weeks back, where someone, and this is frequently happening, and children are being warned, and parents would warn children, be careful who you're contacting. Be careful what social websites and so on that you're on there and who you're speaking to. Pretense and so forth. Older men presenting themselves as 14-year-old boys and things like that to speak to little girls and so on. And I read of this man who was looking for excitement and he contacted someone. Oh, it was adult to adult. Went to his home, went to meet this man, ended up being murdered, body cut up in pieces. The man that he went to see was disturbed, a warped mind. Well, again, you may be smart enough to miss those, but don't go the way even of sensual pleasures and give your soul in the search of such, for you can end up meeting some very disturbed people. Indeed, the doctrine itself is disturbing. You'll die in your sin and you'll be lost. I go quickly to the third one because this brings us to the more religious dimension or doors. They're made very much in some cases, to look like the Lord, to look as if this is the right door. Have you ever gone to a place, given directions to get to somewhere, and you've went, and there it was well described, and you've got there, and you went through the door, and as soon as you were in, you knew this is the wrong place. The wrong door, however well it was described, I've made a mistake. My dad had his car keys and parked the car and went into a shop. I remember him telling us this some years back. He came out of the shop and he went to the car and he had car keys and the door was jammed. He fiddled and he was pushing the key and he was pulling the door and a man came alongside him. And he was holding keys and he said, these might help you. His car was exactly the same as my dad's and they were parked one behind the other. He was at the wrong door, the wrong car. That was humorous. We never let him forget. But you could go to the wrong door because it looks like Christ in some way. It sounds plausible, these doors. Firstly, though, let me mention this. Don't listen to those who say there is no door. For multitudes teach this. You don't have to come any particular way to God. God is all embracing. Universalist tells us everybody except the very worst of people get to heaven. Everybody goes in. There's a big, big wide opening entrance indeed. There's no door. There's no gateway. You don't have to go through anything in particular. Oh, perhaps a little bit of morality, little bit of a decent life, avoiding the very gross and perverse wicked things that you might do. As long as you avoid those, oh, there's an entrance that's wide enough for everybody. A little bit of sincerity will certainly get you through. We've heard it said, haven't we? Doesn't really matter what your religion is, as long as you're sincere in what you believe. Listen to the words of Christ. Does he commend that teaching? No, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You better come this way. There is one door to eternal blessing and life. Christ emphasizes that. The world falls out with us over this. It says we're exclusivist. We're very narrow. And we are when it comes to this teaching. For Christ is. He doesn't allow us to even think anybody, anything else can be the doorway to acceptance with God. No, again and again he pointed that out, didn't he? I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Listen to him. His words, the Son of God. You can't surely believe him. No, there's one true door. Christ is the door. The door of religion isn't the door to life. Sincerity, religion, I'll mention it. I leave it. I tell you something else, what you need to be aware of, and what the Bible warns so clearly about. When you go to the door, when you go to Christ, and I trust and we pray that you do, don't take any money with you. That is any currency. Don't go to Christ and say, here's the door. That's true. But you've got a little bit of yourself in there and you're coming to him. But you're going to add something. Make sure when you go to the door, you've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're not going to try and add. You're not going to present yourself and something you've done, some ritual, some rite that someone else, holy man, has performed, as we've mentioned over and over again over the years. Don't take anything whatsoever. You go up to the door to Christ as you are. You have nothing, absolutely nothing to contribute. Don't even try, for then you won't be admitted. The door won't open. Christ says come, but you come as a lost, guilty sinner. You don't pay to get through this door. You don't contribute anything. You just come to Christ himself. He's the entrance. All that you need is in him. Absolutely everything. Nothing else. Christ and Christ himself. Now come to him and look to him alone. Something else. Another kind of door. Don't use him as a fire exit. Lots of people hope that Christ is like these fire doors. They really only should be opened when the smoke or the fire or the alarm is sounded. Some people are waiting through their days. And they're going through life. They have no time for Christ. If they see the door, they're ignoring that door. They don't want that one. They're going through the door of pleasure. They're going through the door of work and money and finances and possessions and things. The door of intellectual pleasures. Things that grip their mind and so forth. Their profession. Whatever it might be. But they're not going through this door. They don't want Christ. Then like the fire exit. And if you're in a building, all you need to know is where the fire exits are. But you're not going to go through them. You're not meant to. But then if you smell the smoke, or you see the flames, or the alarm sounds, then you want the fire exit. And that's quite proper. But you see, many live their life like that. They're living without Christ. They're ignoring the door. But when they hear, when, as it were, the end of life is becoming palpably clear, felt, then they look to Christ as a fire escape and a fire exit, and they'll run then. But I wonder how many are given entrance when they use him as a fire escape. We can say now with a measure of confidence, if that's all Christ is, if you're going to wait to the end of your days and run to Christ as a fire escape when you can smell the smoke from hell itself, you're not getting through. And there's a reason for that. For you see, sin, sin's consequence, judgment, isn't the worst thing about sin. The judgment for sin, eternal punishment, isn't the worst thing about sin. What is? The offensiveness to God. The person that gets through the door, and Christ says, if any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. The person that goes through the door, properly comes to Christ, comes not only with a sense and reality of the reality of judgment for their sins, but they are awakened to see that the most awful aspect of sin is the offense to the Lord himself, to the way they have lived before God, their maker, their creator, the one who's given them life. If they never feel offended, if they never feel rather their offense against the Lord. There are many Christians here. I can guarantee you not one of them was ever saved without measures of understanding and awakening came to their mind and heart what they had done against God. They didn't simply come to get away from hell and escape hell. No, they realized And maybe greatly so, I've offended God. In fact, a Christian often prays something like this. Lord, this is when they're repenting. Lord, I deserve hell. My sin is so offensive to you, the way I've treated you, Lord. I deserve to be cast into hell. They don't even argue about that. They don't think it's too severe, too harsh. No, for the Holy Spirit opens their mind. They see something of the holiness and the purity and the transcendence and the majesty of God. And they see that their sins are so offensive to Him. That's the worst aspect, the worst part of sin. The offensiveness to God. Don't use Christ as a fire escape. Don't wait to the end. And then come and say, Lord, save me from hell. Ask the Lord to show you how offensive your sins have been and are to Him. And say, oh Lord, I've grieved you. I've sinned against you. I didn't give it a second thought. The lies I've told, the attitude I've had to others, the things I've said, the things I haven't done that I ought to have done. There wasn't one iota, one little jot of affection or love for you all my days. When I thought of Christ on the cross, if I ever did, it meant as much as an animal on a cross. It meant nothing. That's the way we live. I'm not trying to insult you. I lived like that myself. But oh, when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes, oh, the grief, the realization, the dawning upon the soul that our sins are so offensive to Him, infinitely pure and righteous, infinitely good. That's why you come. Come to Him then. See what your sins are and come to the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, what blessings you'll have if you come to Christ. Don't go to the wrong door. Don't think you don't need a door. You'll just hope. You'll just be as earnest, sincere, as good as you can, enjoying life and a few little pleasures here and there. Oh yes, things you know that God wouldn't be pleased with, but overall, He's loving. He'll embrace us all. We don't need the door. Don't have that attitude. Don't wait to the end of your days. Don't think I'm too young. Being a Christian, oh, I don't want to go through that door. I'll lose out. I want to enjoy myself first. Then I'll go through the door. Oh, that's folly. That's foolishness. You might exit this world long before and be called into the presence of the Lord, not having come to Him, not having gone through Christ to forgiveness and acceptance and everlasting life. Seek the Lord. Pray to Him. Ask Him to save you.